Morning, everybody. Please sit down. Please take your seats. Welcome to our worship service this morning. We've come together. It does seem strange. I feel like we're doing this. With you all sat over that side, we've come together to worship God. And I hope in what we sing and share today, my aim is to challenge us to think about the God it is that we are worshiping and who is involved in our lives. So as we sing and as we worship this morning and as I share, it is meant to be a challenge. It's a challenge to me. As I wrote it, I was very challenged. It's a challenge to us as a congregation, and I think it's a challenge for the church further afield as well. So maybe we're going to be the start of something, and we can take it out with us. So let's bow our heads as we come together to pray. Father, we thank you that this building represents your house. These people are the church. We thank you that you have promised us where two or three gather in your name, you are here in the midst. We welcome you. We give you the freedom to move amongst us. Challenge us by the words that we sing. Challenge us by the words that we hear from the scriptures. And challenge us by the words that we hear through the message. We pray for all of those in this building. We pray that you would bless them. We pray for those that are joining us as part of the service through Zoom. And we pray for those who are joining us in watching this on YouTube. We pray that you would bless them. We give ourselves to you this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we will stand together if you wish to. If you wish to sit and sing, feel free to sit. But we're going to sing Crown Him with Many Crowns song. Now, have we used the Songs of Fellowship book? Yes. So if you're using books, it's Songs of Fellowship, and it's number 77, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Please join us as we sing.
Thank you.
Crown him with many crowns. Crown him. I want you to think about your own life. Think right the way back to your childhood and then as you come through to where we are today. And I want you to think, what is something you are afraid of? You don't need to tell me. We used to watch a program years ago about fears. And we had a little chuckle once because somebody came and said they were frightened of buttons. And I sort of think, how can you be frightened of buttons? But they were. We've all got fears in our lives. We're all afraid of something. Growing up, I was terrified of heights. But the one thing I was more terrified of than heights was spiders. I hate spiders. I don't have anything against spiders. It's just they sort of look at you, don't they? They grin. And then their legs move in that really peculiar way that almost says, I know you don't like this. I can't handle spiders. I can deal with tiny, like money spiders, and I can deal with them. House spiders, I used to leave the room if they got in the room with me. And then I married somebody who can deal with spiders. But when we had our children, I said to Ruth, we have to be careful not to pass our fears onto our children. So I had to learn to deal with spiders. So I can deal with spiders, most of them. The bigger they are, well, the harder it is to deal with them, the more I'm tempted to shout, Ruth. But I've learned that I can deal with a spider by putting a tissue in my hand or a tea towel and gently taking them, take it outside and flap the towel and watch it scuttle away. I know it's going to come straight back in again, but at least it's not in there at the moment. So I've had to overcome a fear. It was something I have had to dare myself to do. My fear of heights, I got over because I had a little odd job when I first left my first appointment of being in the shop. I had a little odd job, man. And people used to say, can you go up and clear the guttering? Well, guttering is normally pretty high up. So, you know, I'd got a ladder and yeah, I would be clutching onto the ladder, but I can deal with being up a height as long as I feel like my feet are stable and I've got this, what they always say, have a 3-point hold. If you're rock climbing, always have a 3-point contact, don't they? So before you move this hand, make sure this one's holding on and your 2 feet are holding on, that sort of thing. So I can deal with that. So how do you deal with your fears? What would be the thing if I said to you, I dare you to do, what would be the thing that you would have to really work yourself up to face? So think about that as we move on in the service, because the main message is going to be all about people who dare. And I want you to think about things that maybe in the natural we have to dare ourselves to do. And in the spiritual, I think there are things we need to dare ourselves to do. So we are going to have our second hymn. Just to say, Ruth was going to play a guitar today, not for this hymn, but for the one after this, the one next. But because she's had the dreaded COVID, we weren't sure whether she was going to be well enough to do that. So although she's taking part in the reading, and I'm looking around hoping that the second person who's doing that reading with us is not here yet. Could be a bit of a... Anyway, we'll get around it. She's not going to play. So we've got three songs up on the screen. Two of them are Graham Kendrick. And the middle one that Ruth was going to play for us is by a chap called Michael W. Smith. But this first one is Meekness and Majesty. And I chose this one because the chorus says, this is our God. This is our God. And with the theme of daring, like I said earlier on, I want to remind you about God. So as we sing, think about the words, this is our God, or this is your God. So let's stand together and sing Meekness and Majesty. We're using the books, number 390. Meekness
chains of ease, death on the cross, suffering to give us life, glory to sacrifice. And as they crucified, they father
phrase at the end, this is your God. If you were asked to describe your God to somebody, I wonder what words you would use. Again, I don't want your answer, I want you to just think about it. If we were asked what it means to be a Christian, what difference does it make? Why is my life different to the life of my neighbor? Do I stand out? Am I different to them in any way? What words would we use? I want to remind you of that phrase at the end of that song. This is your God. Now we're going to come to, I've chosen two readings this morning. I've gone away from the lectionary, which we've been using normally. I do this on occasions. I'm a bit of a rebel. We've got two Old Testament readings this morning, both from showing similar stories. And the first one is going to come up on the screen. I think it's a video, if I remember right, I've chosen a video. And it's Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 28. And then we're going to have a little song, which again, I'm going to just talk to you a little bit about. And then we're going to have Ruth and Stella are going to come and do our second reading for us. So watch the reading as it unfolds.
Stories of the Bible, the fiery furnace. There once were three Jewish men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Hey!
When they were very young, they were taken from Israel to live in a place called Babylon. At that time, the king of Babylon was a man named Nebuchadnezzar.
That's it. How much that?
And he made a gold statue that was 90 feet tall.
Perfect.
The king sent a message for everyone to come to the dedication of his statue. When everyone had assembled, it was declared that people of all races, nations, and languages would bow before the statue and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's statue when they heard the sound of musical instruments. If anyone refused, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people bowed to the ground and worshiped.
No, that's not right.
Meshach and Abednego did not, because they were Jewish and would only bow to the one true God. Some of the wise men of Babylon went to the king and told him that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow to the statue.
What?
This made the king very angry, and he asked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if it was true that they would not bow to the statue. Then he said he would give them one more chance to bow down, and if they did not bow, they will be thrown into the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied that they wanted to defend themselves against the king. They said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. The king was so angry with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that he commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be bound and thrown in the fire. The fire was so hot that it killed the soldiers that threw them in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the flames. But suddenly, the king jumped up and said to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them in the furnace?" The advisor said, "Yes." But the king said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, and the 4th looks like a god." Then the king shouted to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Come out!" So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire, and everyone saw that the fire had not touched them. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar praised the one true God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had rescued them from the fire. And the king made a new command that anyone who spoke a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be greatly punished. Then he promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in his court. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted in God and were willing to die rather than worship any god but their own god.
I'm not going to say anything about that because I'm going to talk about that in a second. So our next song is, again, it's one that I love this song. It's about 5 lines long, declaring a truth. And the truth is, our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Now, when I'm focusing, I'm not as good as Michael W. Smith in any way, shape, or form. But I start this song, when I'm singing it to myself, very slowly, because I want to think on the words. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above. And the more I sing it, and I let the words get into my heart and into my mind, I find I'm singing it. So by the time I'm finishing singing it, I'm singing it as a declaration, not just some words. It's realizing, it's instilling in me again that truth of what these words are saying. I don't know, I can't remember how many times he sings it through. You can either join in and sing it, or you can sit there and think, I wish this would hurry up and finish because it's just repetitive. But if nothing else, at least think on the words. So feel free to stand or to stay sitting and enjoy and feel this empower your spirit. Our God is an awesome God.
You've got a coffee to
us. Reading from 1 Samuel 17, 20 to 51. David got up early the next morning, left someone else in charge of the sheep, took the food, and went as Jesse had told him to. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelites were going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. The Philistine and the Israelite armies took positions for battle, facing each other. David left the food with the officer in charge of the supplies, ran to the battle line, went to his brothers, and asked how they were getting along. As he was talking with them, Goliath came forward and challenged the Israelites as he had done before. And David heard him. When the Israelites saw Goliath, they ran away in terror. "Look at him," they say to each other. "Listen to his challenge. King Saul has promised to give a big reward to the man who kills him. The king will also give him his daughter to marry and will not require his father's family to pay taxes." David asked the men who were near him, "What will the man get who kills this Philistine and frees Israel from this disgrace? After all, who is this heathen Philistine to defy the army of the living God?" They told him what would be done for the man who killed Goliath. Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard David talking to the men. He became angry with David and said, "What are you doing here? Who is taking care of those sheep of yours out there in the wilderness? You smart aleck, you. You just came to watch the fighting. Now, what have I done?" David asked. "Can't I even ask a question?" He turned to another man and asked him the same question. And every time he asked, he got the same answer.
Some men heard what David had said, and they told Saul, who sent for him. David said to Saul, "Your Majesty, no one should be afraid of this Philistine. I will go and fight him." "No," answered Saul, "how could you fight him? You're just a boy, and he has become a soldier all his life." "Your Majesty," David said, "I'll take care of my father's sheep. Anytime a lion or a bear carries off a lamb, I go after it, attack it, and rescue the lamb. And if the lion or bear turns on me, I grab it by the throat and beat it to death. I have killed lions and bears, and I will do the same to this heathen Philistine who has defied the army of the living God. The Lord has saved me from lions and bears. He will save me from this Philistine." "All right," Saul answered, "go, and the Lord be with you." He gave his own armor to David for him to wear, a bronze helmet which he put on David's head, and a coat of armor. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor and tried to walk, but he couldn't because he wasn't used to wearing them. "I can't fight with all this," he said to Saul. "I'm not used to it." So he took it all off. He took his shepherd's stick and then picked up 5 smooth stones from the stream and put them in his bag. With his sling ready, he went out to meet Goliath.
The Philistine started walking toward David, with his shield bearer walking in front of him. He kept coming closer. And when he got a good look at David, he was filled with scorn for him because he was just a nice, good-looking boy. He said to David, "What's that stick for? Do you think I'm a dog?" And he called down curses from his God on David. "Come on," he challenged David, "and I will give your body to the birds and animals to eat."
David answered, "You are coming against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the Israelite armies, which you have defied. This very day the Lord will put you in my power. I will defeat you and cut off your head. I will give the bodies of the Philistine soldiers to the birds and animals to eat. Then the whole world will know that Israel has a God, And everyone here will see that the Lord does not need swords or spears to save his people. He is victorious in battle, and he will put all of you in our power.
Goliath started walking toward David again, and David ran quickly toward the Philistine battle line to fight him. He reached into his bag and took out a stone which he slung at Goliath. It hit him on the forehead and broke his skull, and Goliath fell face downward on the ground. And so, without a sword, David defeated and killed Goliath with a sling and a stone. He ran to him, stood over him, took Goliath's sword out of its sheath and cut off his head and killed him. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they ran away.
Thank you very much for reading that for us, ladies. We're going to sing once more. Again, this is, I think this is the other day, Graham Kendrick one. We believe in God the Father, maker of the universe. Let's stand together and sing.
Lord of all,
take your seats. We believe in God the Father, maker of the universe, and in Christ his Son, our Saviour. Father, as we come before your word, we pray that you would inspire us, open our hearts and our ears, and help us to hear what you're saying to the churches today. Amen. Yay. Oh, this technology, eh? I woke up early one morning with a phrase going through my head, and I was then awake for probably a couple of hours, and in my head, this message came, and it just stayed with me, which is why you're getting it this morning, because it doesn't ever happen like that. And I always think if it's something that has been implanted in me, it's woken me up, then God may be well trying to say something. And the phrase was, how many of you know the SAS? You've heard of the SAS? Yeah. And you know, you're not allowed to answer this because I've told you what I'm doing. You know what the motto of the SAS is? Who dares wins? Who dares wins? I've taken out the wins bit at the moment. I think this phrase is a challenge to the church of the 21st century. Who dares? I'm going to make reference to the stories that we've had read to us today and we've listened to, but I'm also sort of taking a lot more. So I'm not going to focus on those stories. I'm going to mention quite a lot of others. So as we look at the Bible and we look at people in the Bible, who dares? So this is going to be quite quick run through all of these. Abraham. Abraham was brought up by his family, and a God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave everything you know, your place of upbringing, and I want you to take your children, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you. Notice here that God didn't say, I want you to go to X, Y, and Z. He didn't tell him where that destination was going to be. He said, I'm going to take you to a place. I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you. Abraham had no idea where he was going. And he dared to follow God. And as a result, through Abraham, the line that would lead to Jesus began. Joseph. Joseph had a dream. And because he was young, he didn't quite know how to deal with it. So he went and sort of told his family, you know, ah, ha, ha, one day you're all going to bow down to me. I don't think he quite said it like that, but that's essentially what he was saying. Because his brothers all turned around to him and said, what? You think we're going to bow down to you? Ha, ha, ha. You know, at that point, he was the youngest in the family. Joseph dared to hang on to his dream. He was sold into slavery. He never lost sight of that dream, of what God had showed him. I mean, even when he was mistreated by Potiphar's wife, he still maintained his integrity and his faith in God. He dared to hang on to that dream. And of course, we all know the outcome of when his family came to Egypt and he saved so many people. Moses led the children of Israel out of slavery and into the desert. But before Moses did that, he was a coward. Have you never read the story of Moses? It's a brilliant story. Moses is rescued by God. He's got this plan, puts him in the bulrushes. Moses' mother puts him in the bulrushes. He gets brought up by the royal family, gets the best upbringing he could possibly have got, the highest education, brought up in the palace. And then Moses goes out. He realizes that he's an Israelite. He goes out and sees an Israelite getting killed. So he kills an Egyptian, hides the body, and thought, phew, got away with that. And then the next day, somebody says to him, you're going to kill us like you did that Israelite. And suddenly, Moses runs away. Moses becomes a coward. He hides away for 40 years. And then God says to him, Moses, I want you to go back to Pharaoh. And I want you to stand in front of him and tell him these words. Let my people go. Moses goes, okay. He doesn't, does he? He goes, Lord, me? Me? You want me to go? Please send somebody else. I'm no good at speaking. I'm no good at standing up in front of people and saying things. Just send somebody else. But again, we know the story. Moses is obedient. He dares to go and stand before Pharaoh and says, God said, let my people go. And he leads them through to the promised land. He doesn't actually get in the promised land at that point, but he does this. Story we heard this morning, David. Young boy, shepherd boy. I mean, I love the reading there because, you know, they didn't really like him because he was young and handsome. But he goes to take his brothers some food. And they say, what are you doing here? You're just coming to find out what's going on. But David was the only one out of all of the Israelites. And you've got Saul, head and shoulders taller than everybody else. You've got all of the Israelite army all standing there cowering at this man who is coming out and declaring that he wants to fight somebody because I'm bigger and better than the rest of you. David stands up and says, this man is challenging God. I'll take him on. That's a bit like us. I'm looking around the room. The young lad in the grey top looks probably one of the youngest in the room. I don't know what your name is or how old you are. But let's say we're all standing and he stands up and says, I'll take him on. And then we all suddenly think, what? What are we going to do? You can't let this kid go in and do this. You can't let him go in. He might get hurt. And David goes in, but he doesn't go in with Saul's weapons. He goes in with some stones and a sling and faith in our awesome God. And I still hold today, if Goliath was at that end of this church building and David had taken his stone and done it that way, that stone would have turned round and would have gone back and would still have hit him in the head. David only needed one stone because he didn't trust in the stone. He didn't trust in his sling. He trusted in God, our awesome God. Another story we heard this morning. I know you heard it as a children's story on there, but this, I think, is one of the best stories in the Bible for showing this point. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'd like to say this because I've actually got my tongue around the names finally. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are called before, with all the other people, are called before the statue of the king. And they're told when the music starts playing, you are to bow down and worship the statue. Otherwise, you will be thrown into a furnace. You will be burned alive. There is your choice, people. Bow down or be barbecued. The music starts and everybody bows down except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And why do I love this story? Because I like their answer. When the king says to them, look, I'm a generous king. I'll give you one more chance. When the music starts, if you bow down, I'll forget the fact you didn't obey me in the first place. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't even need time to think. Your Majesty, they said, our God is able to save us if you throw us into that fiery furnace. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. We are still not going to give in. We are still not going to deny our God because our God is awesome. We don't need him to save us. But he can if he wants to. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. As you know, because you saw the story up there, didn't you? They get thrown into the fiery furnace and they get saved. They don't even get their clothes burnt, which is interesting because the ropes that they were tied up with burned off them. So the ropes all burned, but their clothes didn't. They had no burns on them. And the nation, the king declared, whoever does not worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is in big trouble. Daniel was the other story I was going to use. Daniel, they're told you cannot pray to anybody except the king. You cannot pray to your own gods. Daniel goes home and doesn't close his curtains. He opens his curtains wide. He kneels in the window and he prays to God so everybody can see him. And they go running to the king, the people, and they say, Daniel's doing what you've told us not to do. And the king, long story short, says, Daniel, sorry, you've got a visit with the lions. You're going into the lion's den. Daniel goes in and the lions don't hurt him. You all know the story. It's one of the ones that we tell our children, isn't it? It's a great little story. But Daniel dared to be different. Daniel dared to believe that God was able to save him. He was thrown into the lion's den and was not hurt. And in the end, those that tried to trap him ended up becoming lion chow. The apostle Paul was willing to stand up in front of the Romans and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And even when they said, if you continue preaching this man Jesus, we will kill you. We will sentence you to death. Paul said, no, I am going to carry on because I know what he has done for me. I know the truth. And I dare to believe in my God. I know Paul was eventually crucified upside down, but Paul was crucified upside down, wasn't it? No, he was beheaded, wasn't he? Paul was. It was Peter who was upside down. But Paul was eventually killed for his faith. But he was prepared to stand up, even though it may cost him his life. It's easy to look at the Bible stories. It's easy to look through history and see other people that have done it. How about you? How about you? If you were threatened with your life to deny God or die, what would you do? How about you? How about me? See, I'm not saying I'm any better than the rest of you. But that's why I like the songs that we've chosen today. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And you can sing that to yourself, or you can say that, change your word. My God is an awesome God. He reigns in heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. My God is an awesome God. And the Kendrick song, this is your God. This is your God. The God who is able to lead people and to rescue people and to enable people to stand up and declare their faith. This is our God. To come with a challenge. In the 21st century, is it time to believe in the God of the Bible? I've been reading an interesting book. Somebody bought me a book for Christmas. I can read. I don't always understand what I'm reading, but I can read. And I'm reading a book by a chap called Philip Yancey, and it's called The Old Testament, the Bible that Jesus read. It's quite a challenge. Quite a challenge to read. But I think in our modern day, we're beginning to lose sight of who God is. It's okay having all this technology and understanding and this scientific know-how of moving forward and understanding how things work. But actually, in so doing, we are losing sight of who God is. And because we're losing sight of who God is, he's being pushed more and more out of the life of the world. He's being shunned into a corner. And we take the Bible and we read it and we think, yeah, it's great. It's inspiring. This is the story that saves us. This is the book we base our faith on. When we gave our life to Jesus, when we became Christians, we put our faith in this book. But more and more, we're getting to the bits that we don't understand. We can't comprehend. We can't work it all out. And so we say, oh, well, that's just an illustration. The Red Sea didn't really part. Jesus didn't really turn water into wine. Because, you know, that's not possible, is it? Well, for our God, it is. Our God could separate the Red Sea. Our God can do the things that we can't understand. I don't need to understand it for God to be able to do it. I need to believe that God can do it. I can't remember the film. I think it's one of the Christmas films where one of the characters in it says, yeah, but seeing is believing. And I think it's a child and it says, no, it's not. Believing is seeing. Sometimes you need to believe what you can't see and what you don't understand. So is it time for us as a 21st century church to believe, to go back to believing in the God of the Bible? Because the Bible tells me God doesn't change. To receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, whether you want to go down the path of gifts of the Spirit or the rest of it, I don't know, but we need to receive as church the power of the Holy Spirit. And under that power, to be able to step out in faith. Because we've got the power of the Holy Spirit in us. God says, I will lead you. And all the places you go, I will give you. Where you set your foot. This is going to be the hardest one, I think, because we've been so gagged over recent years. We've been told not to, is it proselytize, not to sort of say stuff. But actually, we need to speak out the truth. We need to declare the truth. We don't need to water this down, because God didn't say to me, I want you to go and save people, because that's not my job. Our job as Christians is to speak the truth. God says, go and teach people to obey. He does the saving. He does the changing. All we've got to do is the teaching. Speak out what we believe. That's why, again, I've chosen songs like Our God is an Awesome God, because I think we need to grasp hold of that. We need to be prepared to stand up for our faith. In a world that wants us to shut up, we need to stand up for our faith. We need to say, no, we're no longer going to be quiet. All these minor groups of society are allowed to have their say. Why am I not allowed to have mine? Why am I not allowed to declare the truth? And we need to share the message of salvation. Church needs to share this message. This is not just to come and join us on this lifeboat. We're all safe now. We need to be going out in the lifeboat and looking for those that need to be saved. And we need to be telling them the truth, throwing them the life ring and pulling them on board. So, I think the person who dares will win. I think the person who dares to do what God has called them to do, who dares to stand up and be God's mouthpiece, will see things happen. The group, it might just be that maybe not a whole church wants to do it. It might be just a group in that church grasp hold of this message and says, actually, let's get together. Let's start the ball rolling. The group who dares, which could become then the church that dares. Do you know, I have a vision, and I had it for some years, and Ruth's had this, that a fire burning. Do you remember, how many of you remember the Sunday afternoon program, Bonanza? Do you remember that? Yeah. And that used to start, if I remember right, I think I got the right program, with a map and a fire burning through the middle of the map. Yeah. I wasn't going to do the music, but well done. The fire used to come up through the middle of the map. And our vision is that if you take a map of Britain, Northampton is pretty much in the centre. I don't know if it is actually physically the centre point, but it's pretty much in the centre. If you imagine that Bonanza map with the fire starting to burn in Northampton and then spreading from the middle out, we could be the church that lights the fire. We could be the church that makes a difference in Kingsthorpe, in Northampton, and thus the nation of the UK and maybe even the world, if we dare. We who dare can see things happen. Our God is an awesome God. Don't need to say anything, do I? I don't need to say anything. Our God is an awesome God. If we are prepared to trust and believe and have faith in him, who dares wins. It could be like David. We might feel like David going out there against the Philistine, going out there against a 9-foot giant with just a stone and a sling. Who dares wins. We might be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bow down or you'll be thrown into the fire. But our God can save us because our God is bigger than anything you have. Who dares wins. We are going to sing. Our next song is The Splendor of the King. And the reason I chose this is the chorus says, our God is greater, our God is stronger, our God is higher than any other. We are declaring truths about who our God is today. Let's stand together and sing. And then Adrian is going to come. He's got a video for us and is going to lead us in our prayers.
He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Age, age. God, and all will see how great is our God.